Good morning, everybody. Annie here. G'day, Matthew. How are you?
Good. It's great to be in the studio this morning, Annie.
Yeah, it is. And it's not even as cold as it has been. That's the weather report. It's becoming sunny. We've got a bit of rain, but sun as well.
Yeah, and yeah, I noticed on the way, and it was 10 degrees.
I know, that's wild.
I think last weekend it was, what, 4?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't have to be rugging up quite as much as previous. But if you are, you can just lie back and listen and snuggle under the doona on Solidarity Breakfast 3CR, your community radio station. And I have to do a belated thank you very much for the people who contributed to the Radiothon for Solidarity Breakfast in particular. We literally are $20 under our full target. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. But, yeah, again, a very heartfelt thank you to everyone who has supported Solidarity Breakfast and also 3CR as a whole.
And there's two particular mentions. One was a $600 donation by an anonymous person in queue. So thank you very much. This is not to take away from any of the much smaller donations, but it really does warm the cockles of one's heart to get such a profound amount of donation. And the other is to a wonderful person from East Ballarat who is an ongoing contributor. She puts $20 in a month, which is builds up, which is a lovely contribution and keeps the station and the program going. So thank you very much indeed. Anyway, moving on, we've got some headlines. You've got something in particular to start off with?
Yeah, I came across, read this last night, and this is out of the New Arab, an update on Donald Trump's Orwellian-sounding Board of Peace for Gaza. They've actually secured their first construction contract to build a military outpost for 150 Moroccan troops that will be stationed inside the Palestinian territory. According to a source familiar with the plans who spoke to The Guardian, the yet-to-be-finalised contract was awarded to Arkel International. This is a firm based in Louisiana that previously carried out work for the US government in countries including Iraq. So, yes, that's they were involved in the occupation of Iraq.
Yeah, this is at the same time as we heard at the rally last week that from Olive Kids founder that...
That's Amin Abbas, who's on the board of Olive Kids.
He was talking about the fact that there's a whole lot of aid, stuff of that nature, stranded, unable to get in through the borders. This is a deliberate genocidal behaviour coming from the US supporting their mates in Israel. This is at the same time as the first burials of family remains.
Yeah, there was a report on Monday that two families, I'm sorry, I don't have the names of the families, but it was 112. That's the largest mass burial. And I did see some...
They were removed from the rubble.
They were removed from
dedication.
The rubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing to note is that if we were to read out all of the names of the children that were being killed, it would take 54 years.
Yeah. Shame job. Complete shame job.
Yeah.
If we don't leave the US just for a second... The US Senate Committee, I mean, the Orwellian nature of what's going on in the US at the top echelons is sort of breathtaking. The World Socialist website is reporting that the Senate Committee is holding Fauci, the chief medical officer during COVID, in contempt as multiple outbreaks rage across the US. It's fascinating what they're doing is, and this is what the report's saying, the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee voted along party lines Thursday to hold Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress. Fascistic Committee Chairman Rand Paul announced that his office would hand deliver the referral to the Justice Department that same afternoon, bypassing a vote of the full Senate. The referral of the country's most prominent public health official for criminal prosecution is not an inquiry into the origins of COVID-19, but an effort to establish the precedent that any scientific advice which constrains profit is a criminal act. Bizarro.
It's really bizarre. And also, if we consider that one of Trump's chief appointments was to Robert Kennedy Jr., who's been a long miscreant, who's discredited science and suggested things such as that vaccines are a contributor to autism in children. And I note that I also, on that theme of infection, there are mass outbreaks of measles that are taking place in the United States. Yeah, that's pretty disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
And on another side, this is another element in the falling apart of the structures that protect the American people. And, I mean, we talk about this because what happens in America sends reverberations around the world. It really makes you wonder about globalization. Is it a good thing? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Donald Trump has nominated four candidates for the U.S. Postal Service Board of Governors in an attempt to take over of the cherished public institution, which is older than the nation itself, says Intercept. And he knows that USPS is responsible for carrying millions of ballots during the midterm elections. So it just rolls on.
It rolls on. In fact, I've got a long memory. That's a theme in American politics when there's been contested elections. Even going so back far as the election that brought in Bush Jr. So, and there were similar things there where they had to check through individual ballots. And the problem with the American system, unlike ours, is they don't have a universal body that oversees.
They don't have an electoral commission.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the problem. And also they can have different forms of voting depending on what state or even city that they're in. And I think that...
Slippery fish.
Yeah, so I think that issue then lends to potential manipulation.
Now, the other, if we come closer to home, it was reported there's going to be an election in Victoria later in the year. I think it's in October. Free Palestine, there's a party that's been put itself up and is now going to be on the ballot, and it's called Free Palestine Party. It's actually a fake. It's a fake group of right-wing provocateurs aiming to dupe Victorian electorates. And basically, you need to be aware that you shouldn't be fooled by this disgusting, cynical approach, which exposes the true nature of right-wing parties, right-wing influences, effectively. They think it's really funny. And so they got away with it. And as a result, the genuine... party that wishes to espouse these views has been stymied from using a name that will explicitly show what they stand for. So to say it again, Free Palestine Party, that's what it calls itself, Free Palestine Party is a fake. It's a fake party.
And I have an update on that. This is just 12 minutes ago. I published on the ABC website and I quote, I've just got a quote here, from student Palestinian activist Ibrahim Hadi, who tried to register a counterparty and it was actually rejected. But what he did say, the Free Palestine Party is trying to paint themselves as Palestinian and use the Palestinian identity to poke fun at people that are standing up for the oppressed.
Yeah, it's really quite disgusting.
It is quite disgusting. And to note, this free so-called Free Palestine Party was registered by Avi Yemeni, who many of you may have aware of. He's affiliated with so-called Rebel News, and he's previously served in Israel's military And
and he thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah, he thinks it's hilarious. He's a provocateur. He gets on social media on YouTube and intimidates. Uses methods that kind of
actually it underpins an ongoing stream of views that comes out of Zionist Australia, which is that Australians in general are stupid, and they are the smartest people in the room.
Yeah, and he's actually just got a. This is on the ABC website now. Mr. Yemeni has previously said by registering Free Palestine, he wanted to redirect left-wing votes towards parties on the right.
We'll move on to the report that has just come out off the books, Practical Guidance for Business Direct. It's come out of the University of New South Wales. It's a new research which found that two-thirds of temporary migrant workers across Australia are underpaid, with one in four losing at least $10 an hour. The research found two-thirds of temporary migrant workers across Australia were underpaid, shortchanged by at least $10 an hour. It also shows that the more severe the underpayment, the more likely the workers are to experience indicators of forced labour, such as coercion, intimidation and restricted freedom. But, of course, the people in federal politics like to say that there's no slavery in Australia. Last month, the Australian federal government announced its intention to introduce a new criminal, in inverted commas, failure to prevent modern slavery offence, targeting large companies with annual consolidated revenues over $100 million. The guidance shows Australian companies where forced labour risks occur in practice, including misuse of ABNs, insecure casual employment, misleading payslips, cash payments, and underpaid night or weekend work. It also emphasises the need to safely engage workers, noting many temporary visa holders fear retaliation or visa consequences if they speak up. And it might be added that the CFMEU, the attacks on the CFMEU and the administration, that will actually hamper this actual supposed work by the federal government, because it's on the ground in the construction industry. It's an ongoing issue, this kind of mistreatment of refugees and people who are from other ethnic groups.
And I think this report illustrates the reason why the Migrant Workers Centre, which is housed in the Trades Hall, it was established several years ago. And the very important work that it does, and other allied organisations like the Human Rights Law Centre as well.
Exactly. They've been doing a lot of work. More reports will come out of 3CR following some of their work. The Physical Disability Australia has told a Senate hearing that NDIS reform cannot be built on the false premise that people with disability are a burden to be reduced, and has recommended an alternative approach that significantly reduces the NDIS debt without impacting support. Susan Gearing, who's the CEO of the Physical Disability Australia, said a narrative has crept into public debate that frames people with disability as an expense to be reduced. That narrative is not only harmful, it is false, and it is leading us toward reform options that, reform that word, options that would cut the very supports that allow people with disability to live, work and contribute. She confirmed the organisation rejected any reform pathway that reduces supports for participants in order to fix a scheme shaped by design flaws, administrative inefficiency and poor stewardship. The NDIS is under real financial pressure, but cutting eligibility or slashing packages would only shift costs elsewhere into unemployment, poorer health, poverty and crisis care. Stripping support is not reform. It is a failure disguised as restraint, she said.
My thoughts are just towards those who are in the NDIS and receiving support, and I guess the uncertainty that they must feel with all this attention and that the NDIS has been a target.
Yeah, exactly. And just on a happy note, the climate defenders who who represented 117 of the arrestees from Rising Tide, the 2024 People's Blockade protests. The New South Wales police have dropped the remaining charges arising from Rising Tide 2024 People's Blockade, where hundreds of people entered the water of Newcastle Harbour, the site of the world's largest coal port, to protest coal exports, and it contributed and its contribution to climate change. Police withdrew anti-protest charges after they failed to prosecute test cases and were required to pay $73,000 in cost. Boom, boom.
That is a great result. I'm just looking quickly here at Rising Tide's website, and they said that the 125 people faced two charges under Crimes and Marine Safety Acts, including the anti-protest laws, for which a maximum penalty of $22,000 fine or 2 years in prison. And of course, we did speak a couple of weeks ago, something similar happened with those were facing charges in Sydney with the protest, the President Herzog protests, and that those, the laws that were targeting those protesters were found to be not valid. So hopefully those charges will be dropped when they process through the courts.
Yeah, all good stuff.